The miracle, the real miracle, is not the absolute. By absolute, I mean the one self, the one all-encompassing wholeness, oneness. We sometimes call that awareness, consciousness. It's been given many names, many names. In fact, anything we say, any word we use, refers to that. And you are that, ultimately. The real miracle is not that. The real miracle is this experience you're having right now. However it seems, whatever thoughts are going on, whatever feelings are felt, your very experience, your present moment, is the miracle. This could have been nothing. This could have been no thing, no experience. And yet, look, feel, taste, smell, think, imagine what you are, that which you are, the one that you are, is expressing itself. You are expressing yourself through your experience, through this moment. And you are realizing yourself that way. You are recognizing yourself that way, as if everything were your mirror. That sounds like there are two, right? You and the mirror. You and your experience. Self and the recognition of self. Self and the realization of self. It seems that way. It seems like there is separate experience, subject-object, the one reality and this play of duality, but it's a play. And within the play, as part of the play, we can seem to forget that we're playing. We can seem to forget that we are exploring our infinite potential as that. Now, I assure you that that forgetting, that apparent overlooking of your entirety is part of your self-exploration, self-realization, self-recognition. Experience can feel wrong, can't it? It can feel wrong. If we're honest, there can be a sense of wrongness. This does not feel right. This is not okay. This is not home. This is painful. This is confusing. This is out of place. And even then, and I know it doesn't always feel this way, but everything is fundamentally okay. Everything is fundamentally held by you, embraced by you. Not you, the individual, not you, the ego, not you, the person. You, the person, you, the individual, you, the ego, can't embrace anything. When we identify as a limited individual, of course there's going to be suffering because our experience of ourself is very limited. Our resources are very few. And we try to literally hold our experience as that finite individual. We try to hold and bear our experience. And one, that is painful, and two, that is impossible. You can't hold experience as an individual. But what you are, beyond your ideas about yourself, what you are is holding your experience of yourself, holding your self-image, holding your present sense of me, as well as the entirety of this present moment. What you are is giving birth to your experience. What you are is choosing this present experience. I don't mean choice in the usual sense. I mean, this is being willed. This present moment is being willed into experience, into existence by what you are, what you truly are. And of course, within that, there can be this thought, this is wrong. This is not okay. This is not home. I'm not home. That is one way you explore yourself. It's one way. Feeling homesick, feeling isolated, feeling lonely, feeling alienated in some way, whether that's from friends, family, society, from life, existential alienation, that is the result of seemingly forgetting your fullness, seemingly forgetting that you are holding effortlessly, you are holding every experience, that you are creating every experience. We can live lucidly, we can experience lucidly. Now, what we really are, beyond our ideas about what we are, is always lucid. One way of saying that is awareness is always switched on, right? Can you switch awareness off? I'm just using a word as a sort of provisional pointer. It's not awareness, it's beyond awareness, it's just a word. But awareness is always on. The lights are always on, and you are always at home. So reality is always lucid, is always awake, is always vitally conscious. There's no way to achieve that. That doesn't need to be achieved. You're awake. And how we experience that awakefulness is through what we call the senses. And those senses seem to be dualistic. There's hearing, seeing, smelling, and so on. But those are all synonyms for the one sense, the one indescribable sense that I provisionally called awareness. And that one sense creates this, because all we find, when I say this, I mean this moment, this experience, this present display. When we explore this display, we literally only find sensation. That's all we find, appearing as seeing and hearing and smelling and so on. That's all we find. And all that is boils down to this awakefulness that you are. We can live lucidly through recognizing this. Now, that lucid living is optional. There's so much kind of importance placed on reaching a point of enlightenment, awakening, like as if it's some event that happens. No, it's a recognition of what is already the case. And that recognition is optional because you're already awake. Even if you don't seem to know that you're awake because you're experiencing, right? There's empirical evidence you're experiencing that is a wakefulness. We don't need to go and see who it is that is experiencing, why experiencing is happening. There is just experiencing. Recognizing this is what it means to align experientially with what is already the case. I can't tell you the mechanics of that alignment. Alignment is not right. It's not the right word because that implies like there is me and something else I'm aligning with. These are just words, and words do complicate matters. It can seem like alignment. Ultimately, no need. You are aligned. You're awake. You're there at the finish line. While you forget that and you feel limited and things feel wrong, then, yeah, there's some exploration, some investigation that you can do. So it's like lucidity or sanity. Again, I'm using those words in a specific way. Like being lucid in a dream, like being sane in this waking dream we call normal life. The word sanity means health, and health means wholeness, which explains why we're always sort of reaching towards good health, well-being, because we know about this wholeness already. We know about what we are, what this is, what life is already. It just seems like we forget it, like we overlook it, like we get identified with something we're not. To use a metaphor, it's like forgetting that you're watching a movie at the cinema. You know, you're sitting there, you're comfortable, you're enjoying the movie, but there's that knowing I'm not in the movie. It's just an effortless knowing, like, okay, I'm watching this. And then because we get so interested and curious and caught up, fixated, perhaps, on the narrative, on the storyline, that we seem to become the storyline. Like, this is me. That gap, that space between the witnessing and the witnessed merges, it blends. And then we become the characters, we become the situation being depicted by the movie. We seem to. This exploration can kind of seem like a reconciliation or an integration, like a making peace with experience, or like a remembering of what the nature of experience is, and therefore finding the wholeness of experience, not cultivating it, but finding it, because it's a fact. And yeah, I want to read out a few quotes by Nisargadatta Maharaj, the first of which is from his book, I Am That. He says, "My home is the unchangeable, which appears to be a state of constant reconciliation and integration of opposites." Your home is the unchangeable. You are the unchangeable. And you appear, present, display a state of constant reconciliation and integration of opposites. The word reconciliation means to bring together again. It means to restore union or friendship after estrangement. That's kind of like what seems to be going on here. That's what yoga is. Yoga is reuniting with our source. Nisargadatta's teaching has been called Nisarga Yoga. The word Nisarga means natural. It refers to the natural state. And yoga is union. That's one definition. Another definition is unity. What's the difference between union and unity? Well, it sounds like they mean the same thing, but actually there's a subtle difference in meaning. Union is the act of uniting or joining two or more things into one. So we constantly try to cultivate wholeness, not just in the spiritual sense, but in many ways, in every way. Like, we're always trying to strive towards wholeness, completion, fulfillment, connection. Yeah, and of course, in the spiritual search, it is connecting with God, or the universe, or the One, or true self. Unity means oneness, the state or fact of being one undivided whole. The fact of being one undivided whole. Subtly different, but very different. So Nisarga Yoga would be to recognize the wholeness of experience, in that experience is literally made of the whole, literally made of the One, is not apart from the One, is the One manifesting as separateness, but not actually separate, not really dualistic. So we kind of have like the path of union and the recognition of natural unity. Both are options. I'm not saying that there's one better than the other. They're just modes of exploring yourself. Here's another quote by Nisargadatta. He said that all that lives works for protecting, perpetuating, and expanding consciousness. This is the world's sole meaning and purpose. It is the very essence of yoga, ever raising the level of consciousness. In that sense, the entire universe becomes a school of yoga. I love that. The entire universe is a school of yoga. The entire universe is the path of union. To experience is to do yoga. When you're experiencing, you are remembering yourself, but in that experiencing, you're seeing yourself in certain ways through objects and subjects. The self-realization, the self-remembrance is happening all the time. We only see the face of God. We just see the face of God. Everything is the face of God, the face of you. So here's a few quotes that point to the natural unity I'm talking about. They're also by Nisargadatta. He says, "What is to be understood is that I, the self, comprises all things. This unity is to be understood thoroughly. Can there be anything else but one? I don't ask anybody to follow any particular path. I just tell them to be what they are in their natural, spontaneous state. Stabilize there in the beingness. The greatest miracle is that you got the news, I am. It's self-evident. Prior to knowing that you are, what knowledge did you have? When you become most comfortable with your consciousness without doing anything, you are already the eternal. Just be. Let your true nature emerge. Don't disturb your mind with seeking." So our home, our self, is the unchangeable, the eternal, the ultimate truth, the absolute. And yes, this reality that we are is beyond the transient world of forms and phenomena. But at the same time, what is eternal and unchanging creates and encompasses all dualities, all opposites. That's the play of Maya, illusion. Maya is one way you know yourself, you remember yourself. It's the creative expression of what you are. It's the play of Leela. It's Shakti outpouring. So in this recognition, all opposites, all apparent opposites are effortlessly reconciled and integrated because they're seen for what they are. And so the natural state is not a destination. It's the source of all experience, all existence. This reconciliation is always happening. You're in the process of reconciling this truth. And at the same time, this reconciliation, this integration doesn't need to happen. It's simply what you are giving to yourself right now. We're both the explorers and the territory being explored, the creators and the creation, engaged in this eternal dance of becoming and unfolding.